I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And joining us today, we have a group that's going to be performing at the Cabin Fever Festival, which is happening all weekend long at the Radisson Lakeview Hotel in downtown Duluth. That's where the main action is. It's also going to be at the Avalon Educational Institute and the Incline Station in Duluth. And you can find more information on all of it at minnesotabluegrass.org and look under Cabin Fever under their concerts and events. And hi, guys. Just welcome.
Hey.
So we have three members of the band. Not everybody could be here today. There's usually five of you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I want to welcome Aaron Tackey, who's on banjo over here. We've got AJ Shrubas. Shrubas, am I saying that right?
Pretty close.
Shrubas.
There you go.
And Arnie Pelto the second. And AJ is on fiddle, and we've got Arnie on guitar over here. And so normally you also have another banjo, right?
No, nope, another fiddle.
Oh, another fiddle. Yeah. Okay. And then a bass.
And a bass.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And those two folks couldn't be here today. So we get to talk about them, which is always fun. And why don't you mention the other people that are in the band?
Rena Rossi is our bass player, and she does some singing too. We all kind of try our best at singing.
And, she really kills it at it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's probably the best singer out of all of us. Mm-hmm. And then Lee Guthrie is the other fiddler, and he sings sometimes too.
He's gallivanting off in Europe right now.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you guys play a lot this weekend. You're kicking the whole shebang off at 6 o'clock tonight at the Radisson Main Ballroom, right?
Correct.
Then you're going to be playing at the Avalon Educational Institute for an old time dance, and then it sounds like Rena is going to be playing tomorrow night for the dance, or calling the dance that's happening again at Avalon Educational Institute tomorrow night. And then you are also playing tomorrow night at 10:10 as part at the Radisson again. And then there are going to be a bunch of workshops during the day on Saturday, right? And you guys will be, some of you will be taking part in that. Did I get everything? Did I miss anything?
So, yeah.
Sounds good to me.
All right. And the festival continues into Sunday, Sunday early in the day as well. So things going on all weekend long. Well, let's get started with the song, and then we'll find out more about you guys. I think this is your first time in the studio, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So lots of questions for you. What do you want to start with?
We're going to start with a fiddle tune. From one of our favorite fiddlers, Ed Haley, and it's called Dora Dean.
Live from Studio A. And you said that was something from one of your favorite fiddlers. What was the name again?
His name was Ed Haley.
And tell me about him.
Well, he was a blind fiddler from Eastern Kentucky that was recorded back in probably the
late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. late 20s, early 30s. And he was just like a virtuosically amazing fiddler. But the recordings are pretty hard to learn from because they're, you know, they're these really old, scratchy
78 RPM quality records.
And it's like you can hear more record noise than you can actually hear fiddle, but if you can kind of power through it, it's like some of the best fiddling ever.
Wow.
I think.
Well, that's great.
But we do a lot of Ed Haley tunes.
Nice. And is he kind of well known in the bluegrass world?
More so in the old time.
Yeah, kind of old school sort of fiddle music. He, I would say he's pretty well known, but that's a relative term in that genre, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, the John Hartford was really responsible for getting his recordings produced. He was never commercially recorded. He didn't want people to take advantage of a blind man. So, but they made some home recordings, and they eventually talked his family into releasing them years later.
I believe his, wasn't it one of his sons recorded him secretly without his knowledge?
I don't think that was that. I don't think that
was
Haley.
Am I getting that? Okay.
Yeah. I think that was John Sally or something.
Okay. Another blind fiddler.
Yeah.
He wasn't blind.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, great stories anyway to back up all of this music. Whenever I see, you know, some younger people that are kind of into this kind of old time music, you guys consider yourselves fairly young, right?
I guess so.
I'm always curious how you got drawn to it. How were you drawn to it?
Well, who wants to start? You start.
And this is Aaron on the banjo.
Yeah, Aaron on the banjo. All right. Well, I guess nearing the end of high school, I was kind of looking for job opportunities and ended up meeting a guy that built banjos out in West Fargo. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and ended up going out to his house after school every day, and I'd be working out and building banjos with him, and you know, I was taking lessons from him, learning a few tunes from him here and there. And after high school, I ended up going down to violin repair school in Red Wing, Minnesota, and it just happened to be that I was behind AJ here in line for registration, and we got kind of talking a little bit about music, and you know, we talked about him, he was playing fiddle and I was kind of learning how to play banjo, and we ended up deciding to move in together. And
actually that day it was like he was standing behind me and I had lined up a roommate that was like maybe less than ideal, and I was kind of like not totally looking forward to it, and then I'm standing in front of Aaron and he's saying he plays the banjo. I'm like, hey, you got a place to live yet? We signed a lease like a couple hours later.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, he hasn't gotten rid of me yet, so
We're still roommates.
And Arnie, how did you become drawn to this kind of music?
Kind of a similar thing. I grew up on the Iron Range. Yeah, Iron Range. But and I moved down to Red Wing all the same year these guys did for the same school. And musically, at that time up there, I played French horn in the high school band, and I was starting to get into the more folky Pete Seeger, the Weavers kind of stuff. And then I met you, AJ, and you were coming from the world of Irish music and getting into old time and bluegrass, so we all kind of converged on it. Mm-hmm. Together around the same time.
Okay. And AJ, you grew up playing the fiddle, right?
Yeah, I played in a family, like a Irish music band with my family, playing like local pubs and bars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're on Green Bay, right?
In Green Bay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd been playing since maybe I was about 10 or 11. And then my brother bought a banjo because he just got into it, and so I started learning some old time and bluegrass tunes just to kind of play with him, and then got totally obsessed with that. And we all went to the same school and kind of met up together, and that helped. We were all kind of learning the same stuff at the same time then.
Mm-hmm.
And then interestingly, actually, our other fiddler Lee, he went to that same school, and Lee's older than us. We're all like early 20s, mid 20s, and Lee's almost
like 80.
Yeah, he's like 80. Lee's in his late 60s, and he went to the same school the first year they had the program.
Wow.
Just coincidentally.
Yeah.
So if something happens with the fiddle, do you guys fight over who gets to fix it?
Yeah.
No, I don't like to do that. I don't do that anymore. I proved to be kind of bad at it. So I'm like, you guys deal with this.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
So I have no idea that there was a violin school, repair school down mm-hmm. there, and mm-hmm. how popular that program might be.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. actually like part of the, you know, Minnesota Technical College programs. Like, it's at Southeast Technical College in Red Wing. One of the only, it's like probably the only repair program in the country for, mm-hmm. there's building schools, but that one was more repair based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you all get through the program and?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Got your skills.
By the skin of our teeth.
Too busy playing old time music.
Yeah, we were always playing old time music.
That's great. I bet that's probably a problem for many of people in that program because they love music and probably more interesting than fixing things. Well, great. Well, so you guys all have kind of a background that lends itself to this kind of music. What do you want to play next?
Well, let's do a song by another fiddler who played with this banjo player that was recorded kind of back in the 78 era, Burnett and Rutherford.
Yep. Curly-headed woman.
Curly-headed woman.
Can I get an F chord there, Arnie? One of the joys about playing the banjo is you get to tune the thing all the time.
Every song.
Every song almost, so. Yep.
All right, are we ready?
Sort of.
All right, one and two and three.
Bootlickers live from Studio A, and that's Hesitation Blues, right?
Curly-headed woman. Yeah.
It's, oh, curly-headed woman.
It is a Sam song.
Really, yeah.
Okay. And who did that originally?
Well, we got our.
There's so many versions of that have been done.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, a lot of people know it from the Charlie Poole version, but a little different lyrics.
This is from Burnett and Rutherford.
Got it. Well, and that's how it works in the world of old-time music. Things evolve, they change, different versions, mm-hmm. different verses.
Yeah,
things are pretty fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the part of the cool part of that music is for kind of perceptibly simple melodies, there's a billion ways to do the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to hear everyone's interpretation of that.
Mm-hmm. You guys are from the city, Twin Cities, and except you all come from different places, but now I know how you guys at least met each other.
Mm-hmm.
How about the rest of the band? How did you start working with Lee and Rena?
Well, a big, kind of a central part of the kind of Twin Cities old-time music community is based around this square dance that happens every first and third Monday at an Eagles club in Minneapolis, and that dance has been going for like 30 years, and Lee is one of the organizers of it. I actually am too recently, but that dance is sort of like a community hub for people in the area that are playing old-time music, and so we started going to the dance and met Lee, and also it happens that, you know, Lee went to that school for Luthery work, and now Lee's like a kind of a world-renowned violin bow maker. Like he made Pinka
really
Zuckerman's
good.
Bow and stuff. Like, he's really sought after.
He made
maker.
Whose bow?
Pinka Zuckerman, and he's like a big deal in that world. And we had all gone to violin repair school, so we met him, and you know, he likes old-time fiddle music. He makes violin bows, so we had a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started hanging out with him and playing tunes all the time.
What makes a good violin bow?
That's magic. A whole nother radio
yeah.
program.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of factors. A lot of craftsmanship issues are huge, and then materials.
Mm-hmm.
But and then Rena, she's been in the Twin Cities for maybe, I think she went to college in the Twin Cities and got involved in the music and dance community, and she's in a group called the Wild Goose Chase Cloggers. They're a clogging group, and they're kind of another sort of big presence in the music community there. And so she kind of already knew Lee, and then Rena and I are dating. So she's just kind of...
Sorry, ladies, he's taken.
Yeah.
And she can sing really well, too.
She can sing, yeah.
Very well.
She's a good fiddler, too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't
mm-hmm.
play... much fiddle in this band. Although tomorrow during our workshop, I'm supposed to teach a workshop on twin fiddling, you know, playing fiddle with another fiddler, and so she's going to provide that service. So.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys been part of the Cabin Fever Festival before?
This is our first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
We've done a lot of other Mabatma stuff,
mm-hmm.
but never anything up here.
Which is Minnesota Bluegrass
Old Time
yep.
Music
okay.
Association.
Minnesota Bluegrass Old Time, yep, Music
mm-hmm.
Association.
Mabatma.
I have their website here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they have a great, like a huge festival in the summer in
mm-hmm.
August.
Richmond.
El yeah. Rancho Manana.
Yeah, that's a great time.
In Central
There's,
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like an exploded version of Cabin Fever with like dancing and a huge main stage and lots of little stages and camping.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of the local favorite for everyone who plays bluegrass and old time music.
And you guys have put out an album that you
mm-hmm.
recorded a couple years back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about the album. I especially want to know about the song that you say, "Nobody plays this tune but us."
What's the title of that? You'll have to remind me.
That one's
the
Eck Roberts one.
Get Up in the Cool.
Oh, yeah.
The field recording of that fiddler, he says that. Like, no one plays that one but me, and then he plays it. So
that's
it's
great.
It's just kind of a...
joke. Okay.
Yeah. A dark joke.
Yeah. Insight.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing, because, you know, those are the kind of things I'd have no idea about.
Yeah, I actually bet you that everyone looks at that and says, why do they say that?
And now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know.
I mean, there's probably four people in the world that
yeah.
probably think that's really funny.
Yeah.
I find it mildly amusing, at least.
Yeah,
it's
great.
But,
well,
but we had to explain it. It's never good to have to explain your joke.
But you know what? But when with those few people that are going to get it, they are going to think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
I think it's fine. And do you guys ever do your own stuff? It looks like it's all kind of traditional stuff, other people's stuff. Do you ever work on your own material?
No, we're all really bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple symphonies I've been writing, but...
Yeah.
Requiems.
Yeah.
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 I got my death metal band. No, I'm just kidding, but...
Arnie and the Peltones.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. But with so much material out there and the way that you can change it and make it your own, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, there's a lot
ways.
Of room
yeah.
for
mm-hmm.
your
mm-hmm.
your personality in a fiddle tune that already exists.
Mm-hmm. How did you go about choosing the songs? There's 17 on here because they're probably very short, right?
Yeah, we argued a lot.
There was a lot of, like, you know, numbers and hats and
kind of tally marks and everyone.
Yeah. A lot of yelling, and there was much bitterness and gnashing of teeth and that kind of thing.
Fine, I'll play that one, but only if we play this one.
Yeah.
Negotiation.
I think there was a fist fight at one point in time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Probably several. But overall, that's
a good practice.
That's kind of representative of what we like to play. Like, if you really delve into old time, you know, you can start picking out, like, Northern Missouri style, or, like, Mississippi style, or, like, the Kentucky Appalachian style. And I'm not really sure where you can say all of those tunes are from, but we kind of have cherry-picked those tunes from those various areas that kind of sound we like.
Do you gravitate towards any particular, or you do a mixture?
I would say mostly we are kind of spread out. Mm-hmm. I think individually, when we're not maybe playing in the band, we each kind of go through phases of, like, kind of specific regional stuff that we might be interested in, but in the band, we kind of, it's like a Heinz 57 or something. We just would pick anything that we like.
There's kind of a focus, like, well, our name, the Bootlickers, is kind of a spin on the Skillet Lickers, Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers from the 20s and 30s, and a lot of our songs are coming from them or groups similar to them.
Okay. Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to finish up with here?
Well, I think we're going to play a tune. I think it's actually called I Don't Love Nobody, but I got it from this fiddler who was from Central Missouri, Gene Goforth, and Gene was a really interesting fiddler. He kind of spanned the gap between old time and bluegrass. He really was probably a bluegrass fiddler. He played in a bluegrass band, but his dad was a fiddler, and his dad would definitely be more of an old time fiddler. And Gene could play all of his dad's old tunes, and so again, John Hartford was responsible for kind of unearthing Gene's fiddling and recording them. And he's a really interesting fiddler because he kind of mixes the two genres. I mean, I kind of think the two genres are basically the same. Just,
well, I was going to ask you that. You said he kind of bridges the gap. What is that gap? Like, how would,
I mean,
to
I think of, like,
untrained person, is there a way to know?
I mean, no, there's not, like, a clear line, really, but there is kind of in the modern world, like, there's people that play bluegrass that they play old time, but I think it all comes from the same stuff. It's just when it started to become more of a production or a, you know, radio focused or
less dance music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And social versus performance.
And in general, it's weird. You'll hear people argue and fight about that with any kind of old music, like, this is jug band, no, this is Tin Pan Alley, this is jazz, this is pop. It's like, I just stopped caring after very quickly. It just doesn't matter.
I mean, those guys back then didn't classify that, so they're like,
they didn't care. Like, kind of a tangent, I was listening to an old field recording with Clayton McMitchin, and some people were asking him, what kind of music is that you played? Did you consider that folk? And he's just like, That's music. And they kept on needling him about the question. He just got more and more irritated about the interview.
It's just music, it's yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard. You know, people feel the need to put labels on things.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Musicians just want to make music.
I mean, I think some stuff definitely needs it. Mm-hmm. But we also, the three of us specifically in our band, too, kind of gravitate towards some of the transitional era of music where of our music, you know, where it was kind of turning into bluegrass, but it wasn't quite that yet. And I kind of think of this tune as
pretty transitional.
Yeah, and part of that has to do with, like, the fiddlers we gravitate towards. Like, Gene Goforth was of a time where he learned tunes from old-timers and from the radio.
Yeah, so. And from other bluegrassers.
Yeah.
Made money playing bluegrass.
So, he calls it I Love Nobody. Think, but there's more to it. I don't love somebody, or I love somebody.
I don't love nobody. Nobody loves me.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
Eggers live from Studio A. That is Aaron, AJ, and Arnie from the band. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, and I looked that up as on the wonderful internet, and it's I Love Nobody.
I Love Nobody.
Does that sound right?
I guess
sounds
so.
Great.
Yeah, close
I Love Nobody. thanks again. And again, you guys are performing at the Minnesota Bluegrass Association's Cabin Fever Festival, which is happening. Kicks off tonight with you at 6 o'clock at the Radisson in downtown Duluth. Music continues into the night with headliners The Woodpicks at 10:10. And then you guys are going to be also performing for Old Time Dance at the Avalon Educational Institute that starts at 7:30. And then the action continues tomorrow. And a couple of local bands I want to mention that are taking part. Riverside Bog Stompers are playing tomorrow at 11:15. Borderstone, 12:45. A couple of bands that you might be familiar with around here. And then the headliner tomorrow night is Art Stevenson and Highwater. They're playing at 3 in the afternoon and then again at 8:50. Workshops tomorrow through the day. And then on Sunday morning, there is more music. And Saturday night, there's another old-time dance starting at 7:30. So I think I covered most of it there.
You got it. It's a mouthful.
Happening all weekend long. If that went by too fast and you want more information, just go to minnesotabluegrass.org and click on their festivals link to find Cabin Fever. And you guys have a website, which is bootlickersstringband.com.
Yeah, right? We also have a Facebook page.
And
yeah.
Facebook page. So, all right. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for
it was really
us.
Fun.
Thanks.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Quentin Steele, from Aaron Welch, and Cheyenne Vavrina. Check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions. Go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.